Let's go ahead and open up with prayer. And in what we were just singing about, Lord, you told us, you said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Father, we thank you for the privilege to hear your word tonight. And in my case, to speak the word. And Father, help us to receive it. You said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching the things that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. My Father, which is in heaven, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we thank you, Father, that you're in the midst of us here tonight. And Father, we know we're believing on you that you're going to heal broken hearts, broken bodies, broken spirits, broken minds. And Father, you're going to set the captives free. And Father, you said you'll continually transform us. You've transformed us through your Holy Spirit and through Christ coming into our lives. And Father, I know that most that are here tonight have already given their life to Christ, but I also know that this is being recorded, that this word will go out. So Father, I just thank you for those that don't know Christ, that they're going to find Christ tonight. I thank you that those who need to rededicate their lives will rededicate their lives. And Father, we just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? God has done great things for us. And he continues to do great things. He continues to work. And Christ has already died for us, and the work's already being done, and now he's working on some other things. Praise God. And so I want to open up with Ephesians chapter 1. The reason we've got a different kind of page up there, if you will, whatever, is because I quote Ephesians 1 out of the Living Bible, and we don't have that on our typical overhead projection thing to pull from, so we're just doing a page I had already prepared just in case. So it's always good to be prepared, right? So it starts out, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family, into his own family, by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. He did this because he wanted to. So when we think about this, God's plan is unchanging, and it's a plan for us. And when I think about everything that's going on in the world today, how things get changed and how we get lied to about this and that, you ever done a deal with somebody and then all of a sudden the terms started changing and that was then, this is now, or I didn't think you meant that, or, you know, I didn't count on that, or whatever. God's already taken care of that. We don't have to worry about that as when it comes to the plan of salvation and comes to what God has promised us in his word. All the promises in him are yea, and in him, amen. And so we don't have to be concerned about that. God spoke it, and it's already happened. And it's going to happen. That's the wonderful thing about God. Everything is. It's not just it was, it is and is to come. And so we don't have to be concerned about it. And he's not going to withdraw those plans from us. It's totally up to us whether we want to fall in line. I think it's Romans 11, 29. The gifts and the call cannot be withdrawn. He's not going to withdraw what he's giving us. And so it's up to us what we do with that. And so, again, we don't have to worry about budgets. You know, we got all this talk right now about debt ceiling and budget. And how much money is out there? Nobody even knows. Some people say there's $80 trillion out there. Some say $800 trillion. They don't even know. But God knows. God knows everything, and he's got it all taken care of, and so we don't have to worry about him coming back to us saying, well, I'm sorry, we got a scaled-down version of heaven here. a scaled down version of eternity. We don't have to be concerned about that. And what's, John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And y'all, if I quote this a little bit, if I miss a word or two, it's because it's near. It's very difficult. I like to do it by memory. And so, "In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you unto myself." So see, Christ is preparing a place for us. He's working right now, preparing a place for us. Now, Fred, I know you and I are kind of thinking, he's already done. He's ready. The mansion's built. Yeah, we truly believe Christ is coming any time. I've heard it all my life, but hey, I'm 63 years closer than the day when I was born. And so I know he's coming back. And so he's working. He's preparing a place for us. Everything's being set in order. And the beautiful thing about Christ not coming back any sooner than he has, it gives more people time to come to Christ. More people time to learn about the great love of our Creator. And so not only has he finished work, save our souls, of course, but he's preparing a place. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the adoption part of that. God has adopted us into his own family. And that is just so wonderful. Through his son, if you adopt a child, you have to have a place for the child. So, of course, he's preparing a place for us. And we're also going to, not only are we part of the family, but we're going to be part, we're going to receive all the benefits of the family. When you adopt a child, they come on in, they get everything. They get access to everything. So we get access to everything that God has in heaven for us. And we also see in verse 5 that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. So how precious is that? In John 3:16-18, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So also John 14:6, as you know, Jesus saith to him, "I'm the way, the life, and the truth, and no man can come to the Father but by me." So he's made a way. And it's a way of escape for us. I don't know about y'all, but this world is not my permanent home. I just, when I see what's going on in this world and the things of the world, I want less and less and less of a part of this world. We have to live here, but we certainly don't have to take part in this world. And again, this is a wonderful plan of salvation that God has prepared for us. And then, to me, this is so wonderful. He did this because he wanted to. He wanted to provide this for us. And the original plan, of course, was not for us to have to live in this world like we're living. And so, but God made a way of escape, which is what he does. He's our loving Father. And of course, he set the example for us to want to do good things. And when you want to do something, you're making a choice. And love is a choice. I've got a guy, I've always been kind of talking about this in the various scriptures that I do. I always talk about giving the example when I talk about love, about when a man proposes to his wife, he doesn't say, "You're going to be my wife." He dates her, he courts her. And he asks her, that's love. Now, if he just says, "You're going to marry me and you don't have a choice," that's not love. But love is a choice. But this guy, the videos I listened to learn how to play guitar, he was talking about a message that he had heard where he said the greatest thing that we do is not read our Bibles. It's not to pray. It's not to go to church. But it's to make a choice. We make a choice to serve God. We make that choice. It sets everything else in place. Because if we don't make that choice to serve God, then it's all for naught. We have to make that commitment to submit our lives to Jesus Christ. So we make a choice. So Psalm 66:16-20 says, "Come and listen, all you who fear the Lord, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, he would not have listened. The Lord would not have listened, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me." So see, there again, he's not going to withdraw his love from you. He's not going to withdraw what he's given you. And we have all this because we confess the sin in our heart. And again, isn't that a beautiful psalm? But again, the important thing is to confess the sin. And also, I was talking about playing guitar. Many times when you play guitar, I guess pianos, well, I don't know if pianos quite the same way. I know I played for a while, but in guitar, many times you'll have what's called a call. You'll play like a couple of chords, and it'll be, say, a call. And then you play a lead riff, which is the answer. You have a call and an answer. And see, if you don't have that, it's kind of blank. You don't fill in the blank, so to speak. It's the flow of the music if you have, you know, the rhythm and the lead like that and such. And so God has given us the call. He's called us. So see, we have to answer. When we answer, that's the full music. And that's the full plan. So just a wonderful thing. Okay, and again, the greatest thing that we do is making a choice. And love is a choice. And that means we're not slaves, we're not machines, we're not computers. We are spirits with a will. And we make the choice, of course, to serve Christ. Okay, and again, since we are part of God's family, we've been given the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28:16-20, which I don't quote all that, so I have to read it. "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, all power is given me that is in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world." Amen. So again, God has chosen to work through us and has given us the Great Commission. And it's part of his unchanging plan. And Romans 1:17, I think, really sheds a lot of light on this. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So this is where it's real important for us. God chooses, there again, it's that choice to work through us, to share the gospel with others. When Jesus ascended to the Father, he gave us, he equipped us with the Holy Ghost so that we could share with others. And so when we witness to others, we're revealing the faith that we have to others. And that's how others are led to Christ, through preaching, through teaching, through us sharing. And I would say usually it's us sharing outside the walls of the church that most people come to Christ. Sure, I came to Christ by coming to church, hearing the message, realizing I needed Jesus in my life, but I wouldn't have come to church if I hadn't gotten invited to church. So see, it's an important part, even though we may say, well, you know, we know the word and we've come to Christ and we love the Lord, we've got to really be sharing it. And continue to invite people to church. And it's easy when you love where you go. It's easy when the pastor preaches the word of God and you have no shame in inviting somebody to church. So that's the beauty of the word. And by the way, our pastor's in Texas with his son and his wife and grandchildren. And so he'll be back, I guess, sometime over the weekend, of course, for Sunday service. So I've heard back from him. He's having a great time and just getting to spend precious time with grandchildren. And, yep, some of us know that's that is precious. Most of us in this room. Okay. And again, God chooses to work through us. And it continues to work. And just within this one verse, I see four action items of things that God's doing for us. So praise God for that. Ephesians 1 and 6. Now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. So again, we belong to Christ. And he is our intercessor with the Father. And so because of that, God is able because of the blood of Jesus, of course, he is able to have a relationship with us and love us, and because our sin has been covered. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4, Apostle Paul saying, "For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." And so there's where it comes from. We are the bride of Christ. And so again, we belong to Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you believe, or a different kind or a different kind of gospel, I'm sorry, trying to do it right, gospel than the one you believed. So, again, we have to be careful what we listen to and make sure we're listening to the word. There's I hear a lot of different prophecies out there. I hear a lot of things that I'm going, where's that in the word exactly? And so we have to be extremely careful what we put up with, what we listen. And I love the scripture Pastor gave. Let's see, 1 Timothy 4:7, I think it was. Stay away from silly stories dressed up as religion. Yeah. So we have to be careful what we listen to. There's a lot of wise men out there that have a lot of man's wisdom, and that's not the wisdom we're really supposed to be listening to. And if you're trying to learn how to play guitar or piano and there's somebody who knows how to do that, that's man's wisdom, okay, that's okay. But when it comes to spiritual things, we want God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Okay, so again, we are the bride of Christ, and Christ is the husband. And when we think about that, think about how much a husband will protect and do for his wife in a rightful marriage relationship. He'll give his life for his bride. He will fight to protect his bride. He will work and provide for his bride. He will love her. He will comfort her. The list just goes on and on and on in a right relationship. So when we have that right relationship with Christ, wow, the blessings just go on and on and on. Okay, first picture, right. You got it. I saw this on Facebook the other night, and I thought it was worthy of sharing. It says, if Satan can talk angels out of heaven, he can talk you into hell. Be mindful what voices you listen to. I thought that was rich. And he is a powerful foe. When, was it Michael or Gabriel, one of the angels that he had total respect for him. And so he, even Jesus had to put up with him. And he continued to tempt Jesus. And even when Jesus gave him the word, he only went away for a season. So how much more is he going to bother us? He's a thief. We have to acknowledge as such. Hebrews 13, 12 and 13 says, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other each day while it is still today, every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." Even the disciples, after they saw the miracles of loaves and fishes, their heart was hardened. And so we have to be careful that our heart doesn't get hardened towards God. And ministry can wear you out. When you do a lot of ministry, the closer you draw to God, the harder you fight, Satan's going to come against you. And he's going to try to deceive you any way you can. And so we just have to identify that and rebuke him. And just be careful and help each other not to be deceived. And be willing to call sin, sin. That's tough. That's real tough. We're not to judge. But sometimes we have to come across with godly wisdom and comfort. Sometimes we have to just say, you need to stop doing that. And so you've got to be careful of that. Extremely careful. You better make sure you're in the Word. Ephesians 1 and 7, "So overflowing is his kindness toward us that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved." So once again, just as a husband should do, Jesus willingly gave his life for us. He covered our sins that we could be forgiven. He was the only acceptable sacrifice for us. Praise God. All right, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example Christ set for us." The following example of Christ, I always say that a little bit wrong. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So once again, we are to imitate Christ in all we do. And he is the Word. Jesus is the Word. So we continually study and follow the Word and follow that example. But he set an example in every aspect for us. Okay, and again, this is the only way God could even look at us. It's because we're covered by his dear blood, precious blood. Okay, Hebrews 9, 27, 28, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and of those who look to him the second time shall he appear without sin unto salvation." So again, he gave his life for us. We're going to die unless Christ comes back before we die. He gave his life for us to cover our sins. And he was the perfect sacrifice. And this is, I'm not supposed to say favorites. It's kind of like children and grandchildren. You don't really say favorites, but it is one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 8 and 12. "For I'll be merciful there in righteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And I just think that is so wonderful. But it's mind-boggling when you think about such evil people in this world can turn their life to Christ and find forgiveness for all the wickedness that they've done. And what's sad is there could be many that have lived a basically good life but turn to wickedness in the end. So we have to encourage each other, keep lifting each other up. And I often tell the inmates, that if somebody keeps reminding them of their sin and they've truly put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're almost bringing that sin upon themselves. And so they can certainly tell them, the people that are reminding them of their sins, that God has forgotten that sin. It's washed away. It's gone. That's amazing, y'all. I mean, when you really get to thinking about that, that's amazing. No matter what you've done, so many people have such a problem with things they've done in their lives, saying, God could never forgive me for that, but he's already done it. It's just up to us to submit to it. It's wonderful. Ephesians 1 and 8, and he's showered down upon us the richness of his grace. So God's grace has provided a way of escape for us. And this is something we can't earn, of course, and God's favor is being poured out upon us. And for by grace are you saved through faith, not in any of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it doesn't mean we don't do works. We need to do works, but we're saved by grace. So it's a wonderful thing, and how much more should we want to do works now that we have that grace in our life? And of course, it's a gift that we can earn, and we just have to have faith, and grace is not to be used with entitlement. And then, of course, Romans 6, 1, 2, well, then, should we keep on sinning so we can get more and more of God's wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Okay, so once again, we have to get away. And I'm not saying, for example, anybody in here is doing this. I'm just saying, in general, especially I see a lot of inmates struggle with this. They keep wanting to come back to that sin. They keep wanting to come back to it. And, you know, I think I've heard Pastor preach about it before, Kenneth Hagin Sr., when somebody was in line to be prayed for it, what they were going through, and he said, you've got a voice inside your head that keeps reminding you of all these things and says, are you willing to let that go? And they said, no, I like hearing that voice. And I thought about it, and I know some people, that's exactly what's going on. That's what's going on in their life. They keep hearing that voice of sin, and they like hearing it. And so they submit to it. And many of the inmates tell us, hey, I'm where I need to be. I says, I'm addicted to drugs and alcohol, and in here I get away from it. I get away from that lifestyle. I get away from those friends. And so, again, I'm not going to tell you that can't happen to any of us in here that have been living a life of Christ all our lives. Satan's ready to trip up each and every one of us. And so we have to continually to remind ourselves of these things. Okay, in Ephesians 1 and 8, this one really spoke to me not long ago. For how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. That could be hard sometimes, y'all. So we've seen everything God has done for us, and we know that we can trust God. And I'll be honest with you, I've been going through some things, and it's been very difficult on the business side of things, and there was a certain thing that could have happened that really would have been helpful, especially at this time in my life, and my health is less than stellar, and I just needed a break. It didn't happen. It crashed. It didn't happen. And I was lightly asking God, God, why? Why not? I wasn't mad at God. I wasn't shaking my fist. I've heard people say they shake their fist at God. I've never done that, and I don't plan on doing that. And I've gone through losing a child, and I just thank God for the time we had together and the great love that we had. But This scripture hit me right square in the eyes. That's the beauty of staying in the Word. You know, these are scriptures that I do every 5 days and try to commit them to memory the best I can. And it just hit me for how well He understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. I don't know what I would have done that it wouldn't have been right for my life at the time, but apparently God didn't want that to happen. And so it didn't happen. And so He just knows what's best for us. And we just have to remember over and over again that God doesn't want bad things for us. God doesn't want us to go through sickness. That was not His original plan, and He doesn't bring sickness on us. That's the enemy. And when Adam and Eve believed the lie in the garden and chose to believe that lie and accept the flesh, that's when we found out we're going to die. We're going to die a fleshly death. And so that wasn't God's original plan, but that was the deception of Satan and the power that Satan has that he can put on us because we chose to believe the lie instead of believing the truth. So we have to continually stay in the Word and believe the truth. And, of course, James 1, 12 through 15, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, again, we have to be careful that we don't become deceived and we are not tempted by God. He wants good things for us. And, again, He's got that unchanging plan for us. It's a wonderful plan. And all we have to do is continue to look to Him. And it's coming, y'all. It's coming. So, again, we have to trust God when things happen we don't understand. And none of us in this room have any idea what we could be about to face. And so we have to stay strong, strong in that faith. And I know that I'm one of them. Have to stay strong, continually stay strong, and not get angry with God when bad things happen. Okay. Kind of a point I wanted to make. I used to work for a company that built computers. And when we had parts come in, we had to have some kind of standard or some kind of model of something to look at to see if that part that came in was right. Otherwise, we could have bad parts get out there on the assembly line and these computers are built and all of a sudden you don't have any place to mount something or breaking or something like that. And so that's the beauty. And of course, we have a constitution as well. Many of us can relate to the constitution. It's supposed to be the document that we refer to with reasonable interpretation as a guide for the laws of the land, not to be messed with as it's being messed with now. And see, God is our standard. He's our model. And the Word is our guide, our model. If we ever have a problem, we can go to the Word. And if you haven't ever heard of this, I'm sure many of you have, the Word is a witness to the Word. In other words, back in the Israelite days, you had to have two or three witnesses in order to find somebody guilty of a crime. The Word is a witness to the Word. You will find it in several different places. Now, I don't want to get into this, but I started researching it. I got the answer, but I don't want to necessarily get into this, where it says, nowhere else in the Bible does God say to test me? Well, we'll talk about that later, but anyway, I found it. So, anyhow, we can always look to the Word and look in different places of the Word to find the answer that we're looking for. And that's the beauty as we speak these Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We hear it, we learn it, we know it. We start getting spiritual understanding. And when we get that spiritual understanding, then we can go deeper into the Word, and it helps us with what we're going through in our life, and it helps others as well. So that's the beauty of the Word. And Ephesians 1, 9 through 10, God has told us His secret reason for sending Christ, a plan He decided on in mercy long ago. And this was His purpose, that when the time is ripe, He'll gather all of us together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, and bring us to be with Him in Christ forever. So it doesn't matter where you're at. God is going to gather us and take us home. All you have to do is have Christ living in your heart. And again, remember, for how well He understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. And I did add one other scripture. I think I have two more. Okay, so Hebrews 13, 8, and 10 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests of the tabernacle have no right to eat. And so again, Jesus never changes. I don't know what I keep doing here, sorry. He never changes. He's the same. And we just need to stay in His grace and in His mercy. Okay, so that next picture, I love this one. Another Facebook picture, y'all. The same guy, he posted them all in the time I was preparing for this lesson. Because they put, it's showing dogs, people here in the CD, it's showing dogs running into like a little doggy door to get into heaven. I think there's going to be dogs in heaven, y'all. I know Daisy's going to be with me in heaven. All my other dogs, too. So the guy's looking on as all the dogs just go in there and says, he says, because they put up with people their entire life, that's why they get a free pass. I think that's funny, but how true is that? And so I'm going to leave you with this scripture, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and then they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for he's held them captive to do whatever he wants. So again, really that's us. Our free pass, part of it's just putting up with people. We have to forgive people. That's part of the power of faith and grace and mercy, is forgiving other people and not holding a grudge, but it's also not judging people. I remember I was trying to help an inmate, and his mom made a comment to me one time. I mean, he's a troubled person, but it was an interesting comment. He said he just thinks differently. I thought about that. You know, isn't that true? Some people just think differently. And just because they think differently doesn't mean that we have the right to judge them because they think differently. And they act differently than maybe we think they ought to act. And so it's really interesting when you bring that into the body of Christ and you think, you realize that we also have to have an open mind to what people are thinking and what they're going through and where they're at in their walk with Christ, and they might just have something to teach us. And so it's God, the body of Christ is a wonderful thing, and it's a true blessing. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and because we do have a CD here, I want to an altar call, of course, and I want to ask if anybody in this room doesn't know Christ, if you could raise your hand if you don't know Christ and you want to know more about Christ. Okay. I don't see anybody raising their hand. So I'm just going to pray real quick, especially for those that might be hearing this CD. Father, we just thank you. You said in Mark 1:15, and saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. You said, for I'm not ashamed, the gospel of Christ is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. So, Father, you, as we've heard in this message, you've made a way of escape through your Son, Jesus Christ. So if there's anyone that doesn't know Christ, you can just simply say in your heart, Jesus, come into my life, be Lord of my life. I believe you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you are God's Son and you are raised from the dead, and you're now sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. I know, I believe that you came back to earth after you died, and then you ascended back to heaven. And I know that you did this great sacrifice for me that my sins could be washed away. Forgive me for any sinfulness. Come into my heart and be Lord of my life and help me to worship you as Lord of my life. And Father, I just pray if there's anybody out there that needs to rededicate their life to Christ, you can do this at any time in your life. And just ask the Lord to forgive you for any of your sins. As I said, Hebrews 8:12 says, I'll be merciful there in righteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The blood of Christ is powerful enough that it can wash away your sins at any time, that you could be made whole, and those sins are cast in the sea of forgetfulness. And you have a new start right now if you rededicate your life to Christ and continue to walk in His Word, to read His Word, and to worship Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. So, Father, we thank you tonight for this message, for this Word. We know you said it's the same with my Word. I send it out, and it produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Blessed be your name, O Lord, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.